Last 2 weeks ago, we studied Adam. Last week, we studied Eve. And this week, we're going to study about their three sons that are mentioned in the Bible. So we are going to still be in Genesis chapter 4, starting in Genesis chapter 4. The first few chapters of Genesis spanned quite a few years, guys. It's amazing how many years are in from Adam to Noah. I think it's 1,500 years, isn't it? Something like that. And then from Noah to Abraham, or it's like 1,500 years. I mean, it's amazing how it's broke down. But just in those first few chapters, because after next week we're going to be studying Noah. So whenever I was going, had my class, gosh, a few years ago, and we were back in that little corner. We were going through the Old Testament, and it's amazing that so much happened in those few short chapters that we don't know why God didn't have Moses write more about it, but I guess because Moses wasn't there, but no. Yeah, could be. But anyway, we're in Genesis chapter 4, we're going to start there. Now, we talked about every human being that's in life today has come from Adam. We can trace our to Adam. And then we'll find out next week, after the Lord destroys the earth with the flood, that then from then on, we also can trace our lineage back to Noah. So Adam was created in the image of God, and then in Adam and Eve, after they were expelled from the garden, will then now have sons and daughters that were born to them. So Cain, Abel, and Seth are the three sons that are mentioned, but then it says that Adam and Eve had sons and daughters. Don't know how many, but I'm sure there was many because he lived 930 years. So, it didn't say when Eve passed away, but it does say when Adam did. There's verses in the New Testament that mentions Cain and Abel. In Hebrews 11:4, Abel is mentioned in the Hall of Fame. Okay? It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he has obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And then in 1 John 3:12, it talks about Cain, and it says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So it mentions Cain and Abel in the New Testament. One was mentioned in the Hall of Fame. The other one will be mentioned as a wicked, evil person. So thus we see that the first man, the first child that was born to woman, from Adam and Eve, murdered his brother. Wow. They hadn't been on the earth very long, and we had a murder. We had somebody killed. But we'll read in chapter 4 a little bit about this process. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And that does not mean that just because Cain was a tiller of the ground that he was evil. Okay? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wrought, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wrought? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desires, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And Cain went out of the presence of the Lord and dwelled in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So, when Cain and Abel, before I get into the lesson, we read the thing. What did you guys find out about Cain and Abel and Seth this week? Any you delve into it and find out anything interesting? I think a lot, because Cain, Abel was already dead. And Adam had, because this is the same when Adam was 130 years old. Then he had another son in the likeness of God. Is that a son? Right. Well, yeah. Poor Abel was gone. And Cain was sent to be a wanderer. So, but I think it's just saying that when he was 130 years old, he had a son. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. From Seth comes the line through all the way through Christ. So I think they are just, Moses was trying to reiterate that this is where the line to Christ is. This is what God wanted him to write. So hopefully that answered it. Anybody else? Okay. Well, Cain and Abel, once when they were born, they are now under the law of sin and death, because Adam and Eve sinned. That caused sin to come upon the whole world. And so they were born into a world of law of sin and death, just like we are. So Cain was a self-righteous and sought deliverance from sin and death by the works of his own hands. Abel submitted himself unto the righteousness of God, and he acknowledged that his own righteousness was not acceptable to God. So even way back when God asked them to present an offering, which he does, it says in the process of time, Abel knew that the offering that God expected was an offering of sacrifice of a lamb, to make the picture of Christ, even way back in Genesis 5. It's a picture of Christ being slain, the blood being shed. Cain wanted to, he was, everything was about him. And if you noticed, it doesn't say the first fruits of his labor. It just says the fruits of his labor. God expects us to give him our first, our very, he doesn't want leftovers. He doesn't want something that we've given to somebody else. God wants his first. But Abel knew that without faith, it was impossible to please God. Cain, his name means a possession or a spear. He was the firstborn of Adam and Eve. He became a tiller of the ground. And he was a sullen, self-willed, haughty, vindictive man, wanting the religious element in his character and defiant even with his attitude towards God. And we'll see that here in a little bit. When God told him he was going to be a wanderer, go from place to place, we'll find out what Cain decides to do. Abel, in his name means a breath or the power of breathing or life. He was the second son of Adam and Eve. He was a shepherd. Abel followed the pursuits of a pastoral life. You've heard of preachers being a shepherd. They're shepherding, they're taking care of the flock. It's a picture of what a pastor does, is taking care of his flock, his church group. He was guided. They were both guided by the instructions of their father, and the two brothers were trained in worshiping God. Because I am sure with Adam and Eve, even in the garden when they worshiped and fellowshiped with God, they were still doing that because God was still with them. He was still fellowshipping with them. Even though they had sinned, he was still there for them, just like he is for us today. Even when we sin, God is still there. So, and it says in the past came to pass in the process of time. So probably on a Sabbath, the two brothers presented their offerings to the Lord. Abel offered his the firstling of his flock, and Cain offered the fruit of the ground. And it says Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's and was accepted by God. And it wasn't that they were competing against each other. They wasn't. We don't compete against each other about what we present to God. It's us and God. We don't worry about what anybody else does. But they were just showing that one was accepted, one was not. And when that happened, Cain was very mad. He was very wroth. He had murderous feelings against his brother. And even God acknowledged it. He says, "Why are you so mad? Why are you so upset? This was your choice. You did this, not somebody else. It was you." Cain will now plan to kill Cain. So from his crime, he is expelled from Eden, from the land around where outside the garden. And he will henceforth lead a life of exile. He will be a wanderer. That's what God said. And he says he will put some sort of mark. God said, well, Cain was afraid that people would kill him. Well, who's going to kill him? His family. His brothers and sisters are going to probably be mad at him and kill him for killing their sibling. Now, how many of you have wanted to kill your sibling? It just happens. I have an older sister. I love her to death. She would do anything for anybody. But from the get-go, I know. You just don't like her. I love her to death, but I just don't like her. No. No. But there's civil rivalry, even with the children of Adam and Eve. They were normal people, just like us. So God will put some sort of mark on Cain to keep people from killing him. We don't know what that mark is. Very possibly, because very on it'll say there was giants in the land. Well, where did those giants come from? Had to have come from Adam and Eve somewhere down the line. I don't know if you saw on Facebook, they found in Greece, they've been excavating and found these skeletons that are huge. So who knows? They apparently were. And long. So God will give him, in Genesis 4:15, God will give him some sign to assure that he will not be slain. He will not be killed. But he was doomed to be a wanderer and a fugitive on this earth. So he went forth to the land of Nod. Sounds like a Harry Potter movie or something, the land of Nod or something. Which was the land, basically the land of exile, which is said to be east of Eden. So he went to the east of Eden. And it says, there he built a city. God told him that he was going to be a wanderer and wander for the rest of life. And what did he do? He built a city and stayed in one place. He did not want to do what God wanted him, or told him to do. And he named it after his first son's name, Enoch. And this Enoch is not the Enoch that we know, that we'll study about later on, because Seth has a son named Enoch. His descendants are enumerated to the sixth generation. So it talks about, we'll learn his generation to the sixth generation. And they become immoral and spiritually undone. They will continue to become totally corrupt towards God, as we will learn later on. You know, they were the Canaanites, so I don't know if Nimrod was a Canaanite or not. But one of his grandsons is Tubal-Cainan, yeah, which I think is mentioned when they build the Tower of Babel. So it probably is. So they're offering. It says in the process of time, they each offered up to God their first fruits. Cain, like I said, was a husbandman. He offered his fruits of the field. Abel was a shepherd. He offered his offering from his flock. And it was not because it was the fruits that Cain thing. It was because, like I said, God expects our first. He doesn't expect our second. Abel's offering was the shedding of blood, example of covering our sins. Abel's offering prefigured the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the offering of shedding of blood, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And we as Christians teach that salvation by Christ through his blood is how we are justified by faith and grace. That's how we are saved. The world teaches salvation by character and conduct. They leave the death of Jesus Christ and the shedding of blood completely out of it. It's what do I do? What have I done? Just like the Cain was. And then the exile, Cain will go out from the presence of the Lord and dwell in the land of Nod. Nod is really an unknown location. They said it was east of Eden. It portrays the direction of the fallen and unsaved humanity into exile from God, without hope in the world, wandering aimlessly. And that's what really and truly unsaved people are doing. They're wandering aimlessly about, trying to figure out what they are supposed to do. And if it would be me, the presence, not being in the presence of God is probably their hell. So the only physical description that we have of Nod is that it was east of Eden. And then verses 17 in chapter 4, it says, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built the city and called the name of the city after the name of his son." So Cain knew his wife. Where did Cain get his wife? From his sister, one of his sisters. Yeah. You hear all this, that the angels of heaven came down and Cain got his wife from one of his sisters. One of his sisters, I'm sure, felt sorry for him went with him. But by the time of Moses, by the time Moses was writing the first five books of the Bible, it was really forbidden to marry inside your own family. And it was because of the genetic decay. So it was stopped after the population started growing. You started marrying maybe your cousin or your fourth cousin, or that's how they were doing. Enoch, his name means initiation. And it was a symbol of this new city where Cain would try to live and migrate his curse. God had banished Cain to a land of wandering, but he decides not to wander, to settle down and build a city. Cain was just wanting to make a name for himself. It was all about him. And then in Genesis 4:18, it gives you the lineage of Cain. It says, "Unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujah, and Mahujah begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech." So this is undoubtedly not the Enoch that is in seventh from Adam, that was born through Seth. This Enoch seemed to be from the ancestor and it says that from Cain. And then verse 4:19, talks about Lamech. "Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah." So now, seven generations from Cain, they start doing bigamy, marrying two wives. Now, who of you men in here would marry, have two wives. We are hard enough, just one of us, that you would marry two? No. God said, that don't happen. Don't do that because you will be miserable. No. So he led the Canaanites in open rebellion against God, where God in chapter 2, verse 24, instituted marriage and the marriage law, which it was between a man and a woman, one man, one woman. And so he will now violate the marriage law as well. So it talks about, now it talks about the two sons in verse 20. It says, Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwelt in tents and cattle. So he basically became a herdsman, a nomadic life. He, like most of the people in the Middle East, that's the type of life that they had. So you can see here where God, the wanderer became, that God told Cain he would be, became into his great-great-great-great-grandson. Whatever it was. And then in 21, the brother was Jubal, and he was the father of making harps and organs, it talks about, making musical instruments. You know, way back when, it was probably before I was a kid, they didn't like to play music in church because it says it was because of this guy that invented musical instruments was from the bad lineage of Cain. But we can look to David and see David played harps and he played music. He played worship things to the Lord. God loves to hear the worship through music. So that's totally out of there. And then in Genesis 4:22, it says, Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. And he was an instructor of brass and iron. So he worked with metal. So this family of Cain now has turned everything away from God. They are estranged from God. They are in rebellion of God. And even now when Lamech, which was the last one mentioned, he will kill someone. And he told his wives that they didn't need to fear because God said that if anybody killed Cain, he would be retaliated sevenfold. And he says, if anybody kills me, they will be 77-fold vengeance will come upon them. Just a very arrogant type of people that have come from Cain. So it kind of gives you an idea of the background that we will see when we study Noah next week, how that the people have come and become so corrupt. It's in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 4. Let's see if I can... 22. I went all the way to chapter 7. Sorry. Do you see it? Okay. So they have... This is a background for... Noah, setting up Noah and why the world has gotten so corrupt. And even though we'll now see as we study Seth, there wasn't just a bad line of Cain. We have Seth. And Seth's name means the substitute. And we'll read the verses that it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and his name was Enos. Isn't that funny? So Cain's firstborn was Enoch, and this one is Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So through Seth and through the son Enoch, then it says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And it says in Genesis 5:3-4, it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. So now they have a son, Seth. When Cain was removed as the older brother, and which was the heir of the family blessing, and Abel was now dead, now God will give Adam and Eve a godly son through whom the seed of redemption will pass all the way through Jesus Christ. So there is this shows you that God always has a remnant of people who trust him. No matter what, throughout the time from Adam and on, God has always had a remnant of people that trust him and love him. Seth means to be placed or appointed. So Seth means to be appointed. So God had appointed a gift of love to Adam and Eve to soften their heart of the loss of Abel and also the loss of Cain. I don't care how bad your kids are, you still love them. And you know their heart is broken. They lost their two sons. God will now give them Seth to replace that hurt. And through this son, the promise of a deliverer will come. So in Genesis 4:26, and it says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son named Enos, and then began man to call upon the name." Enos means weak or sickly, kind of showing that man is very frail, the frailty of man. We are a sick and wicked generation, and God, the only way that we can become righteous and holy is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So upon they started to call upon the name of the Lord. Men started realizing their inherent sinfulness. And with no man, no human, can we appease God through our righteous indignation? We have too many iniquities, too many sins, and we have to turn to God for mercy and grace to be restored to the relationship that God wants us. And the nature of mankind is to worship. And we are to worship a supreme being. We all, inside of us, makes us want to worship something. A lot of us, it is God that we worship. There's many that do not worship God, but they feel like they have to worship something. And prayer is just talking to God. We are to communicate with God. Have you ever imagined who we're talking to? This is the creator of the universe, the creator of man that we're talking to, and he wants us to talk to. We don't have to come to Brother David and say, "Hey, I want to talk to God. Will you talk to God for me?" No way. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and talk to God and give him our concerns, give him what's going on in our life. It's just a conversation that we have with God, and just, I'm mad. Go to him and say, "I'm mad about this," or "I'm hurt about this," or I'm so happy about this. God, you know, he wants to hear us talk to him. He is the creator. He created us. So everybody has that void in our lives that need to be filled with God. Even the rich and wealthy, they can have everything that they have, all the money, all the houses, all the cars. If they do not have Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are still void and have nothing. So mankind has an inner need to worship. You can even go to the jungles of Africa, jungles of South America that have the cannibals that live there. They are worshiping something. They may have heard of God, and that's our fault that they haven't heard of God. But they have never heard of God. They're still worshiping something in their own primitive way. Even in our society today, young people are searching for something. And if we don't show them, the true way, they are going to go find something to worship. And it's sad to say, I'll probably be bleeped out of this, or the feds may be here if they put this on our website, it'll be a Muslim. Because they're taking over the world. We better start raising our kids to believe in God, or we're going to lose them. So, this third generation from Adam was searching for God for eternal life. God searched for Adam in the eve. It said he would come and find him in the evening. Now, this is the first instance of us searching for God. We need God. So, we talked about the strange similarities of Cain and Seth, their children. So, in chapter 4, it talks about the genealogy of Cain. It says, Adam, Cain, Enoch, Irad, Mahujah, Methuselah, and Lamech. If you go to chapter 5, it gives you the generation of Seth. And Seth, it says, Adam, Seth, Enoch, Canaan, which is kind of with Cain, Mahali, I guess that's how I can booger a name, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech. Their names are so familiar, but they are totally different sets of people. And the only thing that I could figure out as I was studying is that they named their children similar names. So some unique facts about Abel after we're through with the three. Abel was the first person to be born into the world. He's the first person. I take that back. He was the second. Abel was the first person to die. He was the first person to get murdered. He was the first person murdered by a sibling. He was the first martyr in the Bible. He died without leaving any descendants. And he was the first one to be a shepherd. I thought those were pretty cool about Abel. Anyway, anybody have any questions about today's lesson? We'll study Noah next week. And so get into the Bible and look up as much as you can about Noah. Mr. Craig, would you dismiss us in prayer?